As far as the earth changes that are happening right now with the poles melting and so forth, could that be caused by this planet moving in right now?
I'm so glad you guys are asking questions. I mean, these are some of the most important things that I just missed because I got up here and I didn't jot a few notes down. But I'm relying on you guys to help me, and I thank you very much. The approach of Planet X portends many changes in our solar system. Planet Earth is not being singled out at all. Jupiter and Neptune have already gone through 40 to 50% magnetic pole reversals at this time. Saturn has lost one of its rings as of late and is on a tilt compared to what it was before. Venus and Saturn and the Moon are all brighter than they ever have been. Mars is losing some of its water and its poles. Its poles are melting. There's an unprecedented dust storm going on there that they've never seen before. The atmospheres are thickening on Mars. In fact, the Moon has suddenly grown an atmosphere about 6,000 feet that they're calling natrium. The Sun is going through, I mean, it's like a popcorn popper, is going through a cycle that they've never seen. It's supposed to end the normal 11-year cycle in the year 2000, and now it's just continuing on. The CMEs, the coronal mass ejections, are higher than ever. In fact, we're supposed to get hit within a few hours here with a full coronal mass ejection here that just happened within the last 24 hours because a small comet went by, and this triggered this ejection of material from the sun. In the last 20 years, Dr. Dmitriev has found out, this is a scientist working in Russia, they won't let this information out here, but it's leaking through. Like I said, there's a civil leaks about this information. From the mid-70s to the mid-90s, the uptick in seismic and volcanic activity has increased 4 to 500%, and that's not counting the last 8 years, which is basically the greatest part of the uptick. The whole of the weather changes that have been blamed on global warming or El Nino or something all have to do with the approach of this planet. And in fact, there's ancient history foretelling the last 7 years prior to the passage where you'll get the major weather changes that we're experiencing now. The volcanoes going off in the Congo, the mega earthquake in India last year that killed 50 to 100,000 people, according to the defense minister in India, and by the time the powers that be got the information at the end of the year, they had pared that down to 12,000, which is just letting you know, I'm sure you guys know what's happening with the whitewash media. So, yes, there's a little bit going on as the approach of this planet, and by the way, physicist, master of science, James McKinney, explains in his book exactly how the plasmatic universe is interconnected. All the planets are interconnected with electricity. The solar winds are bringing the plasma into our solar system. There's an ionosphere that surrounds the entire solar system. It used to be 93 million miles thick. It has now increased in just the last few years 1,000%. That's plasma electricity that surrounds us like a small balloon might surround an object inside of it. You're just putting that up to record. I thought you were raising your hand. Are there any other questions? I'm sure there's something I missed.
How long from the beginning of the events to the end of the events where you can basically come out of your domes and start your life?
Well, the worst of the events should happen within 1 hour. I mean, if you're up in the hills, a well away from the shorelines in some country, I would wait, you know, at least 3 days for the sloshing to stop. I don't know. There's a possibility that some of the air may be contaminated because of destruction of certain infrastructure that isn't taken care of, like nuclear facilities and all kinds of different things that they store around in military establishment. Also, the tail of the comet, and you can call it a comet because it acts like a comet. It's on a cometary orbit, even though it's, from what I understand, a brown dwarf. That iron oxide dust, I don't think you want to be breathing that in. That could, in fact, kill you if it's concentrated enough. So you may want to consider an air filtration system inside your dome for a few days before you venture out. I don't know, you probably could just look outside and see what's happening if you're inside. Now listen up though, the Indians, there are accounts of the last passage, how they survived. I mean, some of them just went up to the hills and laid down in a gully and covered themselves up with wood and, you know, and dirt for a little while during the worst of the shift, and they were fine afterwards. So it's not like you need a lot of money. I mean, you could deal with this in a very low-tech way to survive. I mean, just as long as you can survive the water mainly, because that's the worst part of the event. Sorry.
I arrived a little late, so this may be repetitive.
Well, I'll probably think of something different, so go ahead.
Did you cover the part about the lightning bolts that may have created the craters on the moon?
No, I haven't got into that yet. That's probably a scary part. I don't know if I should. In fact, James McKinney could probably cover that a lot better than I can, and I really urge you to listen to him whenever you can on the radio. We're going to be doing things together. This is this physicist scientist that I'm picking up information from as good as I can. Like I said, I don't have a scientific background, but there have been observed on Neptune, I believe it was, one of the moons, there was actually a plasmatic discharge etching a groove into the planet. I mean, this is how much plasma and electricity is coming into our solar system right now, that this kind of thing happens. And when this planet passes, part of the wing globe thing is the plasmatic discharges. I mean, if you got a dome home underneath one of these plasmatic discharges, I mean, it ain't going to help you. because it could actually dig a groove into the planet in certain spots. You never know where. As deep as the Grand Canyon. All right, I've said it. Now go on to something else. Have you got a question?
Yes. You talk about this iron oxide that's possibly falling from it. Has there been traces of that in core samples when you drill down through the earth, say near the surface? Would there be 3,600-year rings where you would find samples of this stuff, or in coal beds that are laid down on top of one another? Would there be a 3,600-year time period between these coal beds?
That's an excellent question. Very, very deep question, and I can't answer you. I don't know. I've never heard about that. That would be something I would pay attention to in the future if I'm listening to different knowledge comes, because I get so much information sent to me all the time. I only have time to even deal with a third of it, and then try to put out half of that towards the people that are listening to me on my websites. But the ecological evidence is clear for the last passage. I don't know that it contains the iron oxide dust. I mean, I would look towards, just off the top of my head, the Bible for some of those stories of the waters turning red and the Red Sea parting, and all this has to do at a time when these calamities are happening.
Or David Lanos, license number 041802. Your lights are on.
Of course, we have a commercial. Commercial break here. I have a great group of people here who put on this this entire exhibition here. Clay Douglas, and he does carry my book. It's his probably the best-selling book that he has. And he says that after I speak, I'll be signing books over here in case anyone's interested in this minor subject.
I have no question.
I want to back up here. The reason I wrote this book, by the way, is because of fear. And I want to tell you, it had nothing to do with the calamities. When I developed a certain level of clarity on this situation and understood that this information wasn't being put out in a palatable manner. In other words, I gleaned this information from 100 different sources. I paid thousands of dollars for books and read thousands of pages on a website and got the best and bits and pieces and put it into a book and realized I could go on and do that for another 2 years before the calamity. So I had to put it out at one time. Well, the reason I'm saying that is the reason I wrote this book is because I felt that the different sources that I were getting from were not presenting it properly, and that frightened me. It put the onus on me. I never wrote a book in my life and thought, hold it, I more than likely could write a book and present this in a clear fashion so where someone who is just first being exposed to it could get up to speed without having doing all the research I did. That had not been done prior to me doing it, from my understanding. Now, there may be a book or two out there I haven't uncovered yet that has done that, but I'm not aware of it. So I did this because of a spiritual pressure on me, a fear that if I lived through the after times and thought that I could have been possibly responsible for getting this information out, and those people that heard that information could make the decision to prepare and save themselves, if I didn't do that, that guilt would be on my head. That's the fear that drove me. I could care less about the calamities. The fear of not doing my job. That was the job that, for whatever reason, was put, or I put it on myself once I reached that certain level of clarity, knowing that this is a fairly simple subject. It's not rocket science. We got a 10th planet. It comes by. Every 3,600 years, it causes earth changes when it goes by. How hard is that? But you need to put some detail in it. You need to do it in an organized fashion, and you need to draw a mosaic from all the different information sources to make this absolutely clear. And you need to throw a joke in or two, because this subject calls for a little comic relief. I'm telling you, I did that in my book. And I did that because it is such a serious subject. What was your question? I'm sorry.
Okay, I just want to back you up with... I heard you on Art Bell, by the way.
Okay.
And as far as... later, like a couple weeks later, Sean David Morton was on, and he was talking about is when we get into this war over in Afghanistan, when we really get into this war, we're going to, and he talked about, I think, it was sometime maybe in the fall or winter of this year, maybe a little later, that we're going to be looking to the skies. There's going to be something going on in the skies that's going to catch the whole world's attention. Now, no, I just wanted to back you up on that, but also, now I've also been reading some information, and I don't want to get too weird or anything, but I've also been reading some information, I'm curious if you have taken this in or whatever, that it could possibly be a spaceship that causes this. Have you heard anything like that?
Oh yeah, I'm fully aware of everything that's going on in this, in and around this subject. Not everything, but a lot of things. And one of them is what I consider to be disinformation. In other words, if you view this object as some sort of star-tracked spaceship globe that is being driven around by some aliens, then you're not going to pay attention to the information. So I feel that part of the powers that be disinformation campaign is to go in within the spiritual community and create a name for yourself and put this kind of information out that aliens are driving this spaceship, and it may or may not come depending on what they decide at the last minute. I mean, it just irks me to death to hear this kind of stuff. But there's a reason for it. They don't want people to take this seriously. I put that on my website. They want you to feel this whole subject is completely ridiculous. They want to make fun of you. If you call up NASA and you ask about any ridiculous subject you can think of, they'll be courteous and they'll give you information. If you ask about Planet X, they immediately start to ridicule you. You got them in a sore spot. Pardon me? I'm sorry, I'm not hearing up here. What is she saying? Worried about that one way or other. This won't sneak up on you. You'll see all of these things coming to a head very shortly, within a few short months. California, I fully expect to have their mega quakes prior to this passing. So that should be a little clue. Or some of the volcanoes up in Washington State, around that area, should go off. I'm sorry, what's your question?
I've got two questions now that you went on with that.
Okay.
First of all, I really admire your research and your commitment to putting this out. I'm looking forward to reading
your
book.
I really do.
That's not easy to do.
I get it from both spectrums. The people that thank me and the disinformation people at the DOJ who say I'm involved in a scam and trying to get into your pockets and steal your money. I mean, I get this from them.
I'm sure you do.
On either side of the spectrum.
One of my questions is the extensive
cover up. I happen to have talked to enough people. I believe they're...